if we look forward to Player Cup 3, which is like less than 2 weeks away, maybe
before Zach jumps into it, make sure you guys have logged on to your account before January 18th at least once, between October 18th and January 18th. If you do not, your keys will not be dispersed to your account. January 18th is your last day to log on before midnight. I don't know what standard time, but just do it before January 18th or you won't get your keys. So I don't want people coming in on January 25th, 26th being like, hey, I don't have keys.
Yes. What up, guys? Welcome to FadeTown, number one Pokemon podcast in the world. I'm not speaking really fastly because we've tried this 3 times and my computer just keeps crashing. I don't know what's going on, I guess. But this is attempt whatever number, and we're going to do it again, and we're going to make it sound really great, guys, just so everyone knows this. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, like the videos. I guess only less than 50% of you guys are actually subscribed that are watching. Like, you guys good? Got a problem? Like, the button's right there. Subscribe. Just hit the button. Like, let's get that number to 100. All right, guys? I've been asking people for, I don't know, the last 10 episodes to leave a review on iTunes. Someone finally did. It was Blue Waffle Man. I know it's not the great... We don't have the greatest names for fans, but we love all our fans. So, Blue Waffle Man, he gets on the podcast because like every week, if you leave a comment or a review, you got a chance to get on the podcast. And this week, he left a review on iTunes. He said, "This is a very good podcast. I read it at my local library." So, like, guys, I mean, I only spit facts. Like I said, that's proven. He went to his local library. He read it. We're the number one Pokemon podcast, guys. We're back with the Pokemon Breakdown. I got Rolo and Isaiah with me, like always. Some of the best minds in the game. We're going to break it down pretty quick today. We have Expanded, we have Standard. We'll always break those down for you guys, so you guys don't miss that. We're going to talk some card leaks. We had a 2017... tournament we'll probably mention, and then we'll give you like a list of some cards you should pick up and how the market in Pokemon TCG is right now. And it's kind of funny, so we'll jump into that. If we look at Standard right now, the big talk is Cinescorch. Cinescorch is either really good and people are memeing, like Azul saying that it should be banned, which I don't know. I think he's memeing, but they're either complaining about it or people are actually working on the deck, which I think Isaiah said that in the past, that people are very lazy and not working on decks. And I think Cinescorch is a deck that a group of people have worked on, and it's finding success. So what do you guys think? Do you think Cinescorch is the best deck in the format?
I'll start off first. I personally don't. I'm not a huge fan of Cinescorch. I think the deck is okay, but I don't really think it's an amazing deck. It has some good matchups, like it slams Luke Metal, it slams Desigoons, but in my opinion, I think it has an unfavored, even unfavored, maybe slightly unfavored Pika and ADP matchup, and then it definitely loses to Eternatus. I think that matchup's pretty bad. So I just don't think that matchup spread is good enough for me where I would want to take it into an event where you have Pika and ADP, the two most popular decks, and you don't have a favorable against either of them. Even if they are both even, that's still not a great matchup spread. From when I've played the deck, it's just kind of a luck-based deck, I guess I'd say, where if you go second, if you get the Volcanion, if you draw your Welders, if you set up your Scorches, all that good stuff, then you can easily win the game. But there's going to be as many games where you don't have a good opening hand, you miss the Welder, your opponent gets the first attack off, and then you're just way too far behind to win. So I guess that's my complaint with the deck. Even with stuff like Reset Stamp, I still don't think that it has a great comeback potential. You have to establish early game, and if you stumble, then it's going to be hard to come back.
Right. I haven't touched the deck much, Roel. You said you play that. You're what, Team Challenge or something?
Team Challenge, yeah.
How'd that go?
I did go 3-0, but I got second on Resistance, so unfortunate. But I do agree with Isaiah. I felt like I ran away with all three of the games I played, but I went second all those games. I was able to set up a very strong, like, one Scenti Scorch that kind of went in and took 4 to 5 prizes. And then I was able to clean up the game with Heatran, which I've been seeing omitted from a lot of lists, and I don't really understand why. So I think Heatran's GX attack is really, really good to close out the game. Or even take early tempo when you need it, because three energy to just GX something, or like getting the one shot on a Zacian without using your GX attack, seems pretty good comparatively using Reshizard where you need the fourth energy. So it's been really good for me. I did go 3-0, but I felt like I pretty much, like, I'm not gonna say like high rolled my starts or whatever, but like I basically had like a Volcanion opening every time with like Senti Scorch on bench, energy, maybe a Welder turn one, maybe not, didn't really matter on turn one. But after turn one, I would always find a Welder turn two into like a knockout into knockout, and then I'd have like my Mallow and Lana or whatever to heal up and keep that Senti Scorch going. But I basically felt like I never missed a beat, and my opponents couldn't really disrupt me as well because I didn't, like, they just felt the pressure or whatever. But I don't think the deck is amazing. Eternatus probably would have beaten me in every facet, like Isaiah said. But I don't know. It was fun, but it feels like a glorified theme deck.
Right. I don't know. I think Eternatus doesn't get a lot of talk. Why is that not, like, talked about as much as ADP and Sun of Scorch and everything? And, like, I think it's always up in the top eight area, always. But is it because it's fair? Like, I feel like that deck's pretty fair, right?
Do you mean, like, get a lot of talk, like, people dislike it, or get a lot of talk?
At all, like, it's not period. Like, they don't even talk, like, oh, this deck's really good, or this deck is trash. Yeah, it's just there, you know what I'm saying?
The reasoning is, I think that we kind of had the Eternatus phase. Like, it was a few months ago, whenever it first came out, it was, like, the top deck. Everyone was, like, Eternatus is broken, Eternatus went through. Like, I remember when I played it to every, like, four tournaments in a row the weekend it came out, and then the list changed drastically, and the list changed drastically again, and it changed again. So I think that Eternatus kind of had its moment in the spotlight in the early part of this format when it was kind of it was first revealed. And when Eternatus was first revealed, I think that's when everybody was really talking about it, because it was the new thing. And now that we've had it for so long, the deck hasn't really changed a ton, so people don't talk about it. It's not anything new. Well, I think it's still a very good deck. I think it's probably a top deck. The one problem with it is just Zacian, Zamazenta, Luke Metal is just such a horrible matchup. So it's very hard to bring it to an event when you know you will lose to that deck pretty much every time. Yeah. But I think every other matchup is winnable. So I think Eternatus isn't talked about because people feel like it's a solved deck. It's been around for a while. But I like the deck a lot. And but I do think the poison version is bad. I have been pretty adamant. it's okay, but I don't think that the poison version gives you the advantages that it's worth including all the stage one cards for, because I don't think you're ever going to set up enough to one-shot something in Mirror, and I think Senna Scorch is a pretty easy matchup anyways, even without the poison, so I'm not really sure why you need to include these extra stage one cards in your deck when you can have better cards in every other matchup.
Right, I agree. If we look at cards like Pikarom continues to be at the top. I think in the last Hexter, that it was three of the top four decks, and no one seems to complain. There's never any complaints about how good Pikarom is and how dominant it is. Even after week and week of just domination that this deck, even in both formats, like it's in Expanded 2 dominating too. And like, no one ever has bad things to say about Pikarom. Like, why? Why? Like, is it because it's just fair? I don't know. At this point, that's what I've always come down to, is like, people only cry about things that they feel are unfair, even if it's something is dominating. Am I wrong here?
I mean, I think it's super fair. Like, the deck doesn't feel like it did last format where, like, before rotation, where you had Electro Power and all these cards like Zorora basically making it so you're a turn one. I full blitz turn one, and I'll let loose you no matter what into kind of like blowing up your board very quickly into this format where it feels like you're more of a setup oriented, sit behind Boltund, sit behind your initial full blitz. Tag Bolt for six isn't really that common anymore. Yeah. It's the Choo Choo GX that really is what ends the game a lot of the time. Sure, Tapu Koko Prism and Boltund are both incredibly broken cards, but they are what's keeping Pikarom alive, in my opinion. The deck is, because you play so many high prizers, the deck is very volatile, and like it feels like the biggest glass cannon in this format.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Sinnoh Scorch is up there. I think, but you, there's a lot of healing cards. It's such a weird format because everyone is so, like, eyes are set on ADP being such a monster. And if you look at past events, like, ADP is getting sloshed. It's not even in top tens. I mean, it's up there, but it's like these other decks are dominating these games, and the conversation still just sits around ADP as like a problem. And you think, like, I don't know. I don't think, I want to say people will stop talking about it, but I think it became more of a meme where, like, it is, that's just how Pokemon players are. They find something and they sit on it until it dies. And I think ADP is not going to die. Obviously, it's a good deck, but it's not doing well. Is it, like, why do you guys think it's not doing well?
Well, I think it's the same. I mean, I think it's just the same thing that I said last week. It did actually recently win some tournament, but it was the first tournament it won in a while. So that was it. Kind of came back into, I guess, winning, but it still isn't being played a ton. It's like the same thing I said last week. I just think that people aren't playing the deck. They don't like the deck, so they don't enjoy playing it. It's not really as interesting as a bunch of the other decks in format. I think that there is ways that you can make it good. Like, I played it to the chill tournament, and I would play it to a tournament if I played one. But I also just really enjoy playing ADP. So yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. I'm just someone who likes playing the deck. I like the power that it gives me. But a lot of other players would rather have maybe more options, maybe have a more fun deck. So I just think it isn't being played a ton. And also, when people are complaining about it being banned, I mean, I do think that it is the most broken card printed in, like, any like, recent, anything that I can think of, at least. Maybe not the most, like, maybe not the best card, I guess, but I think in terms of, like, just raw, the card is insane, it's ADP. Because you look at the GX attack, that GX deck is so crazy. You take an extra price card and do 30 more damage. So I think that's where the basis of complaining comes on ADP, is just that you look at the card, you see how good it is, and even though the deck isn't amazing right now, people want to complain because of how good the card is itself. And then the second point is that people still have this notion that if you ban ADP, then it will fix all the problems with one prizes. But look at the tournaments. Like, they banned ADP and nothing happened. The same decks did well, and that's because one prize Pokemon are just bad. I mean, it's, like I said before, it's not going to change anything if you ban ADP.
Right. If we look forward to Player Cup 3, which is like less than 2 weeks away, Maybe
before Zach jumps into it, make sure you guys have logged on to your account before January 18th at least once, between October 18th and January 18th. If you do not, your keys will not be dispersed to your account. January 18th is your last day to log on before midnight. I don't know what standard time, but just do it before January 18th or you won't get your keys. So I don't want people coming in on January 25th, 26th being like, hey, I don't have keys.
Yes, we'll clip that, ship that. On our TikTok. Make sure you follow our TikTok, all right? But anyways, looking forward to Player Cup 3, which I know you guys are very discouraged that there's only, what, like, two other seeds because I already won, but, like, we still got to play, guys. We still have to play. So I'm seeing, like, articles. I think TableMon came out with an article that says that Hammers is really going to be a force in how someone does well or does good or does bad in Player Cup 3. Do you guys believe in that? I know a lot of people are talking Hammers, and it's always easy to blame Hammers on why you lost the game, but is it something that we should focus on beating? Like, do we need to build our decks different and make sure play a deck that doesn't lose to Hammers? Like a metal deck where I can get my energy back, or like, are Hammers really not a big deal? What do you guys think?
Well, to me personally, I think I don't know. I don't think that building to beat Hammers really makes much sense because you're just building to beat a trainer card, and I don't know. It's just kind of... But Pikarom does and should, in my opinion, play for Crushing Hammer. So I think that you should be able to deal with some sort of energy denial. Obviously, like you said, Zacian has things like Metal Saucer Energy Switch they can use to get around that. Eternatus can use Power Excel. Pikarom, of course, has Tapu Koko. So most of the decks in format have a way to kind of play around Hammers naturally. So I don't think that you need to be super focused on changing your deck for Hammers for the Players Cup. I do think there's some level of truth to your Players Cup run could be determined by Hammers just because Hammer is such a powerful card. If someone gets three heads in the game, then, I mean, they might win the game off the basis of that alone. But that doesn't mean that your entire run will be decided by Crushing Hammer. It could decide a few games. It will decide a few games. But in general, I don't think that it's going to be maybe as big a deal as he was saying, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree. I've always been an advocate of not playing hammers and playing more consistent cards. And I think hammers, I think hammers can win you a game, but it's not gonna, like, you could win off one hammer, but you could lose because your deck's just inconsistent because you played four hammers. So
yeah, but I think that there's kind of a differing, I mean, obviously it's true, but I think that that varies in different things because, like, people are throwing four hammer in Eternatus, and I agree with you there. There's no reason for the four hammer. That deck needs consistency.
Yeah.
People throwing four hammer in P, that one's, I guess, more questionable, but it's kind of the same thing. That deck needs consistency. That's a big point of it, is that it consistently hits what it wants. But I think that Pikaram is the one that it fits in, because Pikaram doesn't need those four extra slots, in my opinion. Pikaram has, you can play, like, my list has four Boltund in it because I want to start Boltund, and it also has four hammers. So I think that you can very realistically play consistency cards and energy denial, where if you add more consistency, it's just kind of like, it's not doing that much for you, I guess. That's kind of redundant to some point.
Yeah, that's a good take. I think there's a lot of, I think the effort just has to be put in. Like you said, you and Bacardi and all them have played Pikaram for years, and whatever you say about Pikaram, I'm gonna, that's what it is. I don't care what anyone else says. So, that is, but as a new player, I think I've always just, I don't know, unless you want to cheese people and just try to win off a hammer flip, and which is, I mean, hit three hammers, I'm sure you'll win the game. All right, guys, if you want to hit all four hammers, your chances of winning a game if you hit four hammers are pretty high. So
yeah,
you can go ahead and try that. But I don't think you should focus your whole tournament life on hammers. Let's not do that. Other than that, I think there's a couple decks. Well, it's hard to tell. I think Decidueye will be good if we go into Player Cup 3 and no one's teching for it. Like, you should tech for it, guys. If you're playing in Player Cup 3, just tech for it. You don't want to just give free wins away. And that deck, literally, that's all it does. It doesn't. Like, it's not a threat to you. It's not going to beat you any other way than you're not teching for it. So, tech for Decidueye, or don't, and let me get all my points that way. Because that's kind of my goal right now. I'm probably playing Decidueye at this point. But I'm a good player, and I'm going to tell you guys to tech for it. Because free win, or giving up losses to that deck is actually just kind of sad. Because it's not going to beat you any other way.
I mean, playing the tech in the deck feels really bad because it is in every other scenario. So I do understand people not teching for it. I did tech for it last Players Cup because I thought it was going to be big. And I did tech for it last event. I played second Mawile in my ADP over a card I would have rather had. I think it was second Marnie. But yeah, it's probably worth it. Maybe not for the smaller events because Decidueye wasn't really popular in those last time. But for the bigger event, you don't want to take an L to that when you can only take two losses the entire event.
Yeah. I mean, if you are playing eight mans in the eight man key qualifiers and you see, like, the same person popping up all the time with Decidueye, maybe you, like, know what time they're playing and kind of play around that. Like, but other than that, I don't see a reason to.
Yeah, you can adapt to it because they're kind of smaller. You can kind of know the meta, but what's it called? For the tournament, I think it's a great piece of advice to play a Decidueye counter.
Cool. Let's look at, I think that's pretty much for standard. There's not a lot going on. We had, expanded got a little spicy. We had one expanded event, had, Zorark coming back, doing well with counters. We had a Malamar, control deck, Malamar V Max, which is kind of cool.
Did you guys see how Pedro made finals or made top cut?
No. What happened?
The last round he was up against control, which is a complete auto loss for Zorark counters. The guy DC'd.
Oh no!
The come ups. We take those, guys. We take those.
Oh,
that's hilarious. Sometimes that happens, guys. Sometimes, hey, that happens in IRL too. Sometimes your opponent,
people just die.
Well, they don't write their deck list. they mess up their deck list, and you get a double. They get a game loss, and it's like,
I mean, to be fair, at EUIC, what I top 8ed, I literally had to ID round 7 because my stomach was like feeling so bad that I had to go to the bathroom. And my opponent, I played Nico Gallas and he was playing 60 card mirror. So he figured it'd be better to ID than knock each other out.
We take this too.
What he didn't know is that I'm probably gonna shit my pants.
Oh my god.
Oh gosh. See, like it is what it is, but it's kinda cool. I like to see Zoric. I've always been a fan of Zoric. I think the counter attackers are very good right now. I think there's a lot of cards in expandeds that have attacks that really hurt themselves, like Zacian's attack literally kills itself if it's used against it, so why not, you know? And I think they took advantage of that. I don't know how long this deck will last because power creep is so hard for Zoric, but the counters are always good. I don't know. Every counter box has been a thing and it's done well before, but it never sticks around.
Yeah, I don't think the deck is very good personally. I just think that Zoric can't compete with the stuff in format. Even if you have stuff like counters in your deck, that doesn't give you a positive trade. That's kind of been the problem with counters throughout its existence, is that you can have these counter Pokemon in your deck, but you're always going to be the one that has to respond. Mm-hmm. So your opponent knocks you out, you respond, and then they have the initiative still after you use the counter attack. So that's at least my problem. I think that Zacian still should beat it. They should be able to just gust around your Sudowoodo, kill Zorks, kill Lele's, and win the game that way. I think it's kind of too slow for this format, but I mean, it's a cool deck. Glad to see Pedro do well with it, obviously, but mm-hmm. I don't think that it's a very good deck. But I do think this Malamar VMAX deck is pretty cool.
Let's talk about it.
I think it's a really interesting. It's kind of like, it's basically Trevenor, but Trevenor got banned, so it's a lot less maintenance, right? All you need is a Voltorb and a Malamar down, and then you pop the Electrode, you Ace Trainer, you kill one of their cards in hand, and pray they didn't get anything. And yeah, I think it's really cool, actually. I hadn't thought about playing Malamar instead of the Trevenor. Obviously, I haven't played Expanded, but I think that's a really cool idea. I'd be interested to see how the statistics work on if it's more or less likely that they get a good card with Malamar than they do with Trevenor. But regardless of that, I think the deck is cool, and I'm glad that someone played it.
Right. I think that's what I love about Expanded. We talked a couple weeks in a row, it's like, oh, this is the expanded decks, but then you see like, oh wait, now this is actually good, you know? It's like there's so many cards in that format that if it's worked on, the format changes so much. It's like little things, it's like, oh, this is a whole new deck. Like cards like Malamar VMAX that are not ever touched in standard. Or like, oh whoop, now this is busted, you know? That's just the nature of the beast for Expanded. And that's why I love Expanded. I think if I could, I'd just play that because there's so many. Mm-hmm. Like, you could really dive into that if you wanted to, but I don't recommend it if you're actually trying to get really good at this game because
Standard's there's a lot you need to learn.
Yeah, there's a lot you need to learn, and Standard's just going to be a lot more useful to learn than Expanded. But mm-hmm. That's pretty much for Expanded. We don't really touch on it too much because there's not a lot of events and people don't like Expanded, which I don't know why, but it's okay, guys.
It's in a good spot right now.
I understand why people don't like Expanded, to be fair, but it isn't in that bad of a spot right now.
Yeah. So I think overall, both formats are, no matter what we say, no matter what anyone says, someone's going to complain about whatever, but I personally think both formats are doing okay. Like, they're both fine. I don't think we need to cry too much.
No, I think Standard is in, like, if there's, like, a scale, I think it's tipping on the bad side, to be, like, that's in fine. My opinion. But it's not a horrible format. It's still playable.
I think it's bad skill-based format, for sure. Like, we can't sit here and say we're playing, like, this super skill-forward matches.
This is something I talked about with someone recently. There have been so many bad formats throughout the years, but this is the most I've ever heard something complained about. Like, we've had a format where Toad, Shaman, Trump Card, Laser were in the same format.
The format Toad, I do not understand why anyone played anything but Toad. Toad was just so...
because Groudon beat Toad.
And Virizion beat Toad.
Virizion did not beat Toad.
Yes, it did!
Groudon did not even beat Toad. You just
Groudon beat Toad if you opened...
They scooped.
If you open Wob, you kind of won, though, because there was that list, the toad list. You had to open Wob.
If you put a Virizion in the active, and that's all, you won that, dude. How did they beat you?
Because Toad played four Crushing Hammer and Trump card. They just put the guard in your deck.
You only need one, you need two energies. It's pretty favorable.
Would you like me to?
It is hard. Jason Klazinski won. It's hard. Okay, Jason's opponent did completely throw, but Jason did beat Virgin in the finals of a regionals with Toad.
It's hard.
That entire cities block, I played Toad because I could beat VG, and that was VG was the most popular deck. I played Toad Bats, and I played
Slurpuff.
I didn't play Puff. I played Charizard in the deck.
What is Charizard?
Charizard EX, I believe. Yeah, and I played Rock Guard.
Okay.
Back then, lists weren't even like publicly available, which is why like everyone talks about how in NA. Nobody played Manectric Crobat because list hadn't made it this far. But like the Hovercats had a really good list that year. And I remember when I came back here to Virginia to play Cups or Cities here, Harrison sent it to me at that point. Until then, he didn't give me the list. But then I was playing Cities here, so he gave it to me. And I literally like almost clean swept Cities here, except I kept hitting the one Dawn fan in the room every time in like top cut.
I think that's such a good take because we talk about how this format is the most talked about, everybody hating it.
In a wide way, like I'm trying to like reinforce that point. I think like we've had so many formats where people have had like so much more time to complain and right to complain. But I think the reason this one is being complained about so much more is because one knockout deciding half the game is kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. And I think like the media is more. I think people are, there's more voices in the community. I think there's more YouTube channels. There's more Twitters, everyone's talking more, and everything's so in your face. You could go on Limitless and get every list you've ever wanted, and you could do anything at this point.
The people who would normally shut the complainers up by proving them wrong with deck lists that kind of go against the traditional norm, like Azul and some of the other grinders, maybe Isaiah as well, like in years past, right now those grinders aren't grinding like we've talked about to discover. Like back when the season DDG basically won everything, Jimmy was the guy who would be like, people are complaining about this shit, let me show you guys how to beat it.
Yeah.
Like, from what I heard from the insides of that testing group, Jimmy basically made every one of their decks because Jimmy played like 20 to 24 hours of Pokemon like a day kind of thing. Like, he played like Torrid level stuff, and it showed that season because they won ICs, they won events, like, they were an unstoppable force of a group. And like, every time you thought a deck was like unfair, they would show you a deck that was more unfair.
More unfair. Yes.
Like every single event back to back, like even their Pidgey deck at Worlds last year, like are the
either format too.
Yeah, like they were an unstoppable force. It's just we don't have that dedication and drive right now because there's nothing to play for.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion, I do think, I mean, I think Toad Trump Road format is an exception. That format just should never exist. But other than Toad Trump Road format, I do think that the format that we have right now, even though people have complained about all formats, I personally think that this one is like kind of bad in complained about formats. I don't personally ever complain about formats. I think I just waste time. I just play with the cards. I don't really care about what's legal. But if I step back and look at this format, I've kind of had a lot of time to do it because we haven't had any new cards come out because they postponed the set release. And then we've been playing in this online era for so long that I do think that this format is a little bit worse than the others. Kind of like Rahul said, where it's got three prize Pokemon, knockouts decide half the game, and I mean that's the big thing. There's VMAXs that can one shot, knockouts decide half the game, so you can easily one shot. And I think that's the big thing. But it's not unplayable by any means, but I would rather have a different format. And I hope that something happens post rotation to change it.
Yeah, I agree. I think my biggest gripe is that there's not a lot of decision making being made while you play these games. I mean, I played Decidueye and literally just make two Decidueyes and hope you win. there's just arguments that there's a lot more skillful matchup or formats, and that's fine. I think it's fine to have non-skilled formats and have skilled formats. That's why we have a rotation. That's why things change. If everything was the same, eventually you get tired of it. People would get tired of playing it. That's why we have these things. And no matter what happens, someone's going to complain, especially in this day and age where everyone has a voice and everyone can argue on Twitter with anyone who they want to argue with Twitter on, and that's just how it is. So we'll move past that, and let's just kind of move into some card leaks, some more fun stuff. We had a lot of stuff drop the day that we put out our podcast last week. So this might sound old, but there's a Sharam that's literally deluged to non GXs, which is what I'm more excited about. I think that card's good.
That card's pretty decent. It is kind of the no text box thing is very restrictive, obviously.
Yeah.
But there should be something good with it. Even if it's not in standard, even if it's in expanded, there probably is gonna be some cool combo.
Something could be found, yeah.
No.
Yeah. In standard, I'm sure it's not bad. I mean, it might just be bad, but it could be playable. We talked about how there's a Venusaur VMAX coming out. Maybe, you know, you try to deluge a bunch of energy and then E-switch it. I think that is going to be hard because we talked about how 30 damage is really low, so you need, 12 energy on board to kill something, and just having 12 energy in your deck is hard.
It's tough, but
it is a cool card, and that's what I'm glad to see. So, sorry, go ahead.
What I wanted to say is, one, the full set list will be dropped on the 22nd. It looks like it's coming out in Japan. So that's when we'll have to sit down and kind of hopefully reevaluate, look through the set, see what's going on. I was up playing League at ungodly hours when these leagues dropped. So I was pretty excited to look through them. I think Bronzong is probably my early contender for could be really good in a deck like Luke Metal. Okay. I think all the supporters are kind of bad.
I was talking to Zach a bit before the cast started, and I was saying that the thing that I hate about the supporters was I wanted the supporters to either be good or cool. I didn't care which one. If they were cool, that was fine. Like Maxi's and Archie's, or Maxi's Hidden Ball Trick, Archie's in the Hole, those weren't great supporters, but they were pretty cool. And then I wanted them to be good, you know, Lily, Cynthia, Research, something like that. But they were just horrible and not cool at all.
Yeah, I hate that you take a character like Bruno and a character like Karina and just throw everything out the window. Like, they're fighting type gym leaders, they are all this, and you give her Shauna. You give her Shauna, and we might as well give the other person Hop at this point. Like, what are we doing? Like,
we basically just got some pretty sad reprints, which kind of sucks. In terms of everything else in the set, so far it's been leaked. Escape Rope coming back is actually pretty important in terms of how the game is played. Because right now, if you look at how the game is played, decks like ADP, Senta Scorch, even Pikaram are going with the lead with something and have something on the bench. So now decks are going to be having to suboptimally bench so they don't get a Pokemon dragged into the active against their will, which is something we haven't really had without a supporter right now. Sure, everyone's playing boss, catcher might exist, but Escape Rope is a more reliable way to change the way the game is played.
No, it's free,
I think,
too.
Tool Jammer is an interesting card.
I do too.
Yeah, I agree. I like that card.
I like that card a lot.
Tool Jammer basically says, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it shuts off. It shuts off your opponent's tool.
Only active.
On the active, yes.
So other stuff still remains, but this is a way to get through things like Parasol, ways to get through things like Goggles, Hood, Tool Jammer is a interesting concept because it is a anti-synergy card.
It works on the other way around too, right? If I have a Pokemon with Tool Jammer on and you have a choice ban, you don't do 30 extra damage to me, correct?
Yeah, okay.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. That's dope.
But otherwise, I think the Vs that have been revealed so far have been underwhelming. Mimikyu, not so hot. The Tapu Koko VMAX line doesn't seem great. Victini VMAX, I could see being played potentially because Welder exists, as well as Victory VMAX being a very strong 220 for two counterattack. Mm-hmm. If you play with the Victini we already have, because the Victini we already have can be slotted into any fire deck pretty easily. So if you just combine the two, being able to Welder and set up a 220 damage, just hit into a two shot is kind of cool to have. But otherwise, I don't know, with the leaks. I guess yesterday we had the Salazzle and Weeping Bell, which don't seem like a big thing for me. But at the same time, I really like how they are playing off the synergy of stage ones that do status conditions and then feed off of that as well for damage.
Yeah.
So given a slower rotation, one ADP leaves, something leaves, we could see decks like Salazzle status conditions come back to prominence with twin energy, giving us one prizers that aren't super overpowered, but revolve around combo-oriented decks. They're not playable right now, I don't think. Maybe, no. Could be, I don't know. three status conditions gives you a one shot, which isn't that hard to do actually. But
Is that what they seem cool? That's what Salazar does?
It's 90 yeah. times status conditions on it. Oh. Yeah, opposing active.
That's pretty good.
It's really good, especially because burn poison is another plus 30 on Weeping Bell. So you're automatically doing 210 no matter what you do if you do the Weeping Bell evolve into Salazzle. And I believe there's another card not in this set that also puts your opponent Pokemon active to sleep on evolution. So with those three combined, you're basically doing 300 damage for basically nothing, which is kind of crazy to think about.
That is actually, like, I don't know. I've been preaching it. Well, that times 90, that's what, that isn't a times 20. Thank the freaking gods.
Yeah, God. Like, the times 90 just
makes so it so good.
You can consider it now.
Yes.
Like, it no longer sits in your bulk.
Correct.
It can go in the potential pile.
Yes.
Energy Recycler is coming back, another reprint. I don't know what that'll really do, honestly, because...
What about Charizard? Team up Charizard?
Sure.
Are we back?
Charizard could be a deck. Like, 80... like, Hammers could have less impact. Pikachu playing a Recycler could happen, honestly. Right. I could see it.
We have Ordinary Rob, which is usually good enough, but...
Yeah, I don't think Recycler would take any spot. Colossal and Licky Licky both don't seem playable whatsoever.
If Licky Licky didn't, if your opponent didn't get the choice, that'd be good.
Yeah, I read it and I thought that you got to choose. I thought the card was broken.
That would be busted. All right, I know what card you have in your hand. Get rid of the three on top. All right,
Shattered.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I love seeing leaks at this point.
You're saying Rahul, you're finishing something.
No. I was just saying, like, yeah, the card seemed like really funny, and I was like, but it's not playable.
Yeah, I got a question, Roll. What is happening? What is the big set? Like, is this shiny one the big set? Are we getting a booster box of the shiny cards?
No. What are we getting? Okay, so as far as products,
where's the booster box?
The booster box is Battle Styles.
Are you sure? Every from products, what I've seen, I've not seen a booster box of this. I've only seen Elite Trainer box for Battle Styles. Am I blind?
There is a booster box. I've already pre-ordered mine. I know for a fact. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as far
and that's
as,
in
so,
March.
That's in March. March 19th is release date. So I'm not on the hustle like a lot of players are with the buy trade sell. We'll get to that point eventually with the market. But I'm in a couple of Discords that actively discuss that. So when pre-orders are going in, I'll try to pitch in because when you're buying from a distributor. Fun fact, you can't buy like individualized product unless they're boxes or a case. There might be cases, but if you're buying like one ETB, you can't just buy one ETB. The distributor requires you to buy the full 10. So usually I'm the guy who'll come in to fill the order because I don't need more than like one or two. I'm not really buying anything to hold. I kind of want to crack things. So I think we needed to have one more person to fill the Battle Styles case. So I threw my hat in the table. I figured it'd be a fun set with enough new cards that I would enjoy opening a box, you know, at distributor rates. That's very reasonable. But the shiny set is not, does not look like it has any playable. It's just raw reprints and some dog shit cards. It's literally what it looks like. I don't even know what the set list is right now, but it seems like there's nothing that will actually make an impact on the game.
Yeah.
It seems like it's like basically the Hidden Fates again of this year. And then Battle Styles is going to be our important March set.
Will that push everything back? Don't we normally get a set in February?
We do. Everything's been pushed back already.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Since Worlds, everything has been pushed back about a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Because before they were trying to... I firmly believe they actually were trying to coincide things with the competitive circuit. Okay. But due to COVID and short printing and everything, they kind of are doing it at their own schedule, right?
Okay.
So we could see an early... If tournaments do come back, Worlds does come back, we could see an earlier set release date, like an earlier street date for a set.
Okay, that'd be nice.
I think Battle Styles pre-orders for most stores have gone out this week. So if you have a local game store you want to talk to, probably go hit them up now to get your build and battle kits or your Urshifu VMAX boxes or whatever you want, because I'm sure the VMAX boxes will be hotcakes. I don't. The set list hasn't been out yet, so I don't know if there's any chase cards worth going after, like no Pikachus or anything in this set. But we'll know shortly. Once the setlist is out, we'll probably talk about it next week.
Yeah.
What some of the chase cards are in the set, if it's worth on that monetary aspect to hold, whatever. But from early leaks, it doesn't look like anything in this set is going to be like a banger of a money card, like the Zard, the Pikachu VMAX Rainbow, like nothing like that.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm very apprehensive because there's a lot of trainers in the set, which implies there's going to be a lot of full art trainers in this set. And that's where the money could come into.
That's what we thought. Let's talk about that, like, because let's just jump into that, because it's...
Here, Zach, can I say one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we move on. Looking at these leaks, I actually think that Tapu Koko V might be the best card revealed. Really? Because for 300
hot take, hot take.
It does 20 plus 40 damage for each energy attached to all of your opponent's Pokemon, and that's actually insane. Especially in Pikachu. Like, if your opponent has a huge board with Bolt on, they have 7 energy on the board, then you're doing over 300 damage. You can one-shot anything. That's so true. I think this could be a huge card for Pikachu, especially in Mirror. It's not going to be amazing in other matchups. It could be good versus ADP. ADP usually has a ton of energy on the board as well.
It's going to mess up my Cherim deck, dude. Get that card out of here, man. Cherim already struggling. Come on. Why we gotta make Pikachu better?
It is a really cool counter card, especially for the 3 energy, because you can kind of set it up in one turn with E-Switch.
Yeah.
So it is a really cool counter card, because even like Senti Scorch or ADP can't get overconfident with things onto their board. So you could just like counter slot it, yeah.
Cards like that are good. Really good for the format, because it makes you think. Like, you will catch, especially when that card first gets released, you will catch a lot of people with it. And
I expect to see it at Player Cup Finals. I expect players to play it in the finals if they're playing Pikachu.
Yeah, right? Because it's just like there's a lot of players. We talked about this with the Trash Lands thing, where people don't know how to manage their stuff, and it takes time. So you'll see a lot of Pikachu players stacking 7 energies on their cards and getting punished by this, even though they have that same card in their deck. They're still going to get punished by it. That's the funny part.
And then my other take, this is probably more of a hot take, but I think that Bronzong is a really bad card. Not a bad card, sorry. I just think there's no chance it gets played. I do think the effect is really cool, but I think that the format is too fast currently for Bronzong to actually have relevance, especially when we have Boston format, so you have to set up 2 of them because your opponent can just chase it and knock it out. And we don't have any cool healing cards. We do have the new supporter, which could like heal your VMAX off, but other than that, there's no max potion in standard. And even if there was, a lot of stuff just gets one-shot. So while I think the Bronzong is a cool ability, I don't think it's going to be played, because I think you just want energy on your Zacian for the most part. So I think it's going to be hard to fit into your deck. But I would love to be proven wrong, as it is a strong ability in a vacuum.
Right. I think... How many energies, or do we have any? We have special energies that count as everything. We have
Aurora.
Do we have anything else?
We don't know if this will work with Bronzong yet, though.
Why?
Because Weavile only moves basic energy. Weavile GX. And we thought it would move any energy.
Does it say just basic?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know the exact text.
Okay. If it does move that stuff, I think it just takes one more like print of another card like that, and now we're talking some crazy
fairy box shenanigans. You bring back like your fairy box aromatic shenanigans. I can see that.
Which would be cool. I think that deck was fun.
The coolest thing about Bronzong is that it itself is metal, so you can play Bronzong in a like any deck, and then you can Metal Saucer to the Bronzong and move it to some other Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which is kinda cool. So.
Yeah. Let's finish this off with the market. We talked last week that there's a few cards that you should pick up on Bolton, because they're cheaper at this point, because we're not playing IRL. But overall, though, I think the market's crazy right now. We had someone buy out all the full art supporters. I think I said that in a past podcast, that I wish the full art supporters were expensive, and guess what? I got my wish. Because that's where we're at. We're looking at almost every full art supporter that is in standard format, close to $50 to $100 now.
Crazy.
Is that toxic? Yeah. Like, I think it's toxic. No?
It's not. You can't really say it's toxic. They just
it's economics.
Market.
We didn't have that in the past, and I think...
No, it doesn't matter. It's simple economics. It has happened, but it has happened in a much smaller vacuum.
Yes.
Also, this is completely fine, because these are cards that people don't need. Like, if these were... maybe like Boltund and Crobat or ADP Zacian, those cards shooting up to $50, I would say that's a problem, but I don't think this is a problem, personally. No.
So I am an economist. That is my degree by trade. There are people who are smarter than me that are also economists and know the Pokemon market much better than I do. Sean Kaufman, Squeaks, and Danny Phantom, Danny Ostrich from DDG, are both very smart people. And they are both very transparent about talking about buyouts that are happening in the market. Before, buyouts would happen on the daily. I personally know players who would be doing buyouts, and no one would talk about it, and we would just find out the hard way. Cards like Aqua Patch, cards like small things would get bought out, and it would be a small increase by maybe a dollar or two. But even that was enough for them to reflood the market and get their money back in spades. But this was happening. This has always been happening. It'll continue happening. But right now, there's so many more collectors and other outside sources coming in to buy. So cards like Full Art Supporters, Gold Energy, Secret Rare cards are being bought out in much quicker stock. If you gentlemen remember in May, maybe June, with old decks, I started building old decks in like April, May, and when I was building old decks, I was buying like Magnezones and collectors for like $3-4. And then I remember I tried to go back and buy more, and they were like 30 because everyone had been buying them out. So it wasn't just an old deck spike. It was people actively trying to influence the market, which is, it's very simple economics at the end of the day, but you have to have a buyer on the other end or it doesn't actually matter. So right now, if you're someone who is buying on these cards for a low price, sure, you're holding them. You're hoping that you can slowly bleed them back into the market. So we're not going to see these cards immediately come back in. Like there's not a chance that someone's going to insta-flood the market because that's how it crashes. They're going to hold them. They're going to wait until the time is right, slowly bleed them in, you know, sell one for maybe, like right now the market price, like for example, for like Blues Tactics is like $130. So like they're going to slowly be like, hey, we're going to sell this for 50 on Verbank Mart, maybe on other avenues. Right. One really weird place that people are buy, trade, selling is Instagram. I don't understand it. But like I've had people from TikTok and like Facebook DM me on Instagram about cards. Really strange, but I guess Instagram Marketplace is a thing. Mm-hmm. So like the market is like with Full Art Supporters, it's weird. But if you have a Full Art Supporter that you don't need right now, and like for example, for me, the Blues Tactics, $130. I see it for $130. I have seven of those. I'm probably going to try to flip them for like six. This card is like a $4 card. I don't really need it. It's probably never going to be more than like a $10 card at the end of the day when everything spikes. Because it's one, not a waifu card. And I say that like very sparingly because like your Lilies, your Cynthias, your Karinas, Skylas, like these cards are going to always go up in price because they are pretty and they are associated with something that people really like, females. So like those are like money cards and they always will be because Full Art Supporters will go into that. Like Mallow and Lana probably will be money one day. I think the Tag Team Supporters will all probably be money one day just because there's two things on it and not just one. So it's the same as like Gold Energy, right? Like when Gold Energy buyouts started happening like 5-10 years ago, people were buying them for like $10. And I was like, damn, dude, $10 for Gold Energy. That seems steep. Now look at them. They're none of them are less than like 30.
Yeah. 34.
The reason I have all Gold Energies for Pikaram is because I bought them all at 12. I bought all my Lightning Energies at $12. And that was in like 2015 or something or whenever they came out. And I thought they were like, I spent too much on them, but now look at them. Right. Yeah. It's like,
it's always
Call of Legends Energy the same way. Like,
yeah. It's always tough to look at stuff like this because I get it. It's economics. You're going to do that. It's just you get as a player, I get set in my ways where I see cards like Blue Tactics where it sucks. It's not a good card, but it's $100. But it's like that's a competitive person in me.
If you ever talk to a vendor though at an event, the only time they'll come to a competitive player on advice for cards is if they think there's a sleeper card that might rise over the weekend to buy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, competitive players don't mean jack shit for the market.
True.
As sad as that sounds, we're a very niche Super corner niche. Of an already niche market. So we don't actually influence the market that much as we'd like to admit. When tournaments are actually happening, the biggest influence you'll see is an expanded because there's a limited stock of cards. So if a deck that's off the radar does really well, out of the blue, like for example Eggrow, I think that was like an out of the blue deck that came out and did well. When that happened, Eggrow spiked in price, not even by that much. Vileplume spiked in price. Like some of these cards were
a huge spike in price whenever the Quad Zoro Eggs deck did well.
Egg spiked. Like expanded is the biggest place we'll see any standard influence or a singular tech card maybe doing well, but otherwise like a lot of the good cards in standard are always going to be at a certain price. And so like Dedenne always stayed at a certain price point regardless. Like ADP stayed at a certain price point regardless. Like when the competitive season is going on, these prices are only targeted at competitors and collectors will complain to some degree because they're like, these aren't rare, blah, blah, blah. But collectors usually get the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue getting the short end of the stick, especially with the way the game is growing. So, yeah, we'll see what Shining Fates plus 25th anniversary boxes bring to the table, because I think they said that they're going to plan on rolling those out in, like, August. So we're going to get details in the summer.
I'm excited for this stuff.
But I mean, because last 20th was the pin collections.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And we got Generations as well as the 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did get Generations. That's right. And those were like buy and hold if you could find if you could find them.
Yeah.
And
then it became that horrible, and now it's like, oh, it's a bazillion dollars again. So
yeah. And this pattern will continue. Pokemon is I said, the largest grossing franchise. Pokemon is cross generational. Everyone knows what Pokemon is, regardless of your age, who you are. You might not know much about Pokemon, but almost every single person on this planet knows what Pokemon is or has heard of Pikachu.
Correct. Yeah. I always tell people, I'm like, I think right now product is the smartest bet. If you want to invest in this game, sealed product is where it's at. You just chill. If you're a gambling man and you want to open your one in a bazillion chance to get your shiny Charizard, go ahead. Champion's Path, I think, is the dumbest thing in the world to open. You probably don't do that. But sitting on it, I think, is genius. I think sitting on it, the product is smart.
Any sealed product, double boxes, Hatterene boxes, just like chill, whatever it may be, hold them. I'm going to open both my double boxes that I found at Target yesterday. But if you are a investor or like long, don't really care about cracking packs kind of thing, like Champion's Path is probably the best set. Champion's Path, Hidden Fates, and Shiny Star V that's coming up are probably the three best sets to just hold. And if they do another generation style set, same thing.
Yeah.
Buy and hold.
You just got to wait for them to stop printing that crap. And then we'll see how far
it goes. I think I mentioned this last podcast, but I was talking to a very prominent content creator. I think it was Mahone. Correct me if my memory is wrong, but he was like, Mahone has been, you know, helping game stores, blah, blah, blah. So he has like a ton of like graded cards that are like old school, like really old school cards. He has access to those. But he told me, I think he sold like three or four of them to get a down payment on a house. And I was like, that's nuts.
Right.
Like that's crazy to think about.
Right. I'm like, literally after this podcast, I'm taking like 7 full art trainers that are unplayable, and I'm going to go sell them for $400. It's like,
I got to drop some stuff off the Harris's house.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I think you should just look at the cards you have and go on TCG Player. You'll be surprised at this point. I used to tell people,
or you can go to like Burbank Mart and stuff. Yeah. Like, just honestly, like right now with the way the market is working, these aren't quote unquote quick flips. This is just like the market is inflated, so take advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree, and don't feel bad. Like, part of me felt bad because I like in my head I'm like, these cards are trash, and like I'm selling them for hundreds of dollars, and it's like. But this person's buying them because he's a collector. He's not playing the game. That's like,
you don't buy in right now. Get out.
No.
This is like having stock. Like, for example, right now the biggest thing in the actual world market is Tesla that everyone's talking about. Because Tesla, since March, has had a stock split since March and is almost 200% above where it was in March, which is crazy to think about. And it has no reasoning, no rhyme or reason why it's going up like that. But everyone's like, you should get out right now, or like, no one buy in. But more and more people are continuing to buy in because it's going up and going up and going up. So eventually it'll lead to a boom.
Yeah.
When that happens.
I love that. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I live in the Pokemon space, but I feel like ever since the Pokemon space, people are talking, investing more. And I think that's so much more healthy for living period. I think more people should invest in stuff. There should be more talk about stocks. If you're not talking stock, if you're a 20, 25, 30-year-old person, your friends aren't talking stocks or investments or something, you guys should start doing that. Like, you should surround yourself with company. People like that. Yeah.
Like, that's like a weird life nugget that definitely listen to Zach here, where like, if your friends, and if you're like around your mid-20s and your friends are not talking about potential retirement options, and looking into their future, investing, seeing what they're doing with their money. If they have no savings in their money, in their bank account, talk to them, beat some sense into them. Like, you're in your mid-20s, you are setting up the foundation for the rest of your life. Once you have a partner, once you have children, potentially, or a pet, whatever you may be, that money, you want them to live the life you had, and that option's like I look at my family, I look at like Isaiah's family, stuff like that. Like, our parents are able to provide for us in ways that they never were able to have for themselves. And like, that's something I want for my children as well in my future. So like, just as a prime example for myself, from day one of working, I've been putting in the max amount I can into retirement. I'm a full year in. It's kind of cool to see that I have almost $20,000 in retirement already. Sure. And I have more than that in my bank account right now because I'm living at home. And I'm also investing. So it's like, yep. I have all these different assets that are tangible, and I am putting myself on a fast track to be ahead of a lot of people when I move out of my house, yeah. when I potentially start being an adult by the traditional definition. Right. And also no shame in going home and living with your parents again. Like there's no reasonable way a millennial that has any debt coming out of college should be expected to live on their own, because there's no way you're going to like get that debt. I think like I was talking to Alex Hill about it. He's almost done with his debt. And this man is like 3 years older than me, I think.
Yeah, it happens.
And that's, I think that's soon too. Like you're not, a lot of people don't clear their debt till like mid-30s sometimes.
Some people don't clear their debt at all. Yeah. You like, there's ways to literally like pay $10 a month for the rest of your fucking life. And
college is so, yeah.
Like, it's tough. I mean, that's a big topic, but like you can look at it. There, I think we have pretty good perspectives here, because like we have Bradner, who's super young, who's kind of just not there, not really thinking about the stuff. He's in high school. It is what it is.
Yeah, he's looking into college.
You're super, like, you've got your shit together. I'm a person who did shitty shit in my early 18 to 20 years, and I'm building myself back up. And, like,
yeah, I mean, no matter
how, as long as you're working on yourself, you know?
Yeah, no matter how old you are in life, no matter where you are in life, as long as you don't give up on yourself and take the active steps to have a better lifestyle and keep yourself in good company, you'll be okay. Yeah. Like,
you start surrounding yourself. Even if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, man, Raul's just said he's got 20,000 in this, like all this, and like you got nothing, and all it takes is that mindset switch of like, okay, let me sit here and figure out how to make my life better. And just like, take small steps, and you'll
like small steps. Better. Like even if you're like now looking into actively retirement, for example, like for Isaiah, I like highly recommend him looking into a Roth IRA coming up soon, because like for a Roth IRA, you can only invest into that until you're 25 years old. So for Isaiah, he actively makes money from coaching, article writing, all these things, and I probably for a fact can assume that he doesn't need that money to like do what he wants to do in life, because Dadner will take care of him. He's a very low budget kid. He just plays Pokemon all the time anyway. So like for Isaiah, I would like, if he was like, he is my friend, so I would highly recommend him like looking into a Roth IRA, talking to Dadner, and starting to work towards actively towards that retirement, putting your money into that pool.
Yeah. It's just little things like that. I think that this is a great way to end the podcast. We always want to leave with people with like positive stuff, always be positive, surround yourself with good people, and always try to better yourself. And I think another thing I really want to put out there as for someone that if you are young, it's okay to be a monster. Like if you
do what you want,
yeah, be a monster, and grind. Like I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you don't want to be disrespectful or whatever, and you have all this stuff and you don't want to look bad or whatever, but it's like, it's okay to fall in love with something and do better than people at it. And it's okay to be okay with being better than people. So
yeah,
I think like if you put in the hard work, you deserve it, you know?
Don't wake up and expect life to hand things to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up and don't like wake up and like look at the person next to you and be like, I'm salty that Rahul has like a head start on life. I'm salty that Isaiah has a head start on life.
Exactly.
No, like you are given the things you're given, and whatever your circumstances may be, make the most of it. And when you stop comparing yourself to others and start pushing towards what you want to do, that'll make a world of a difference.
100%, I think.
Like, it's okay to compare yourself in some aspects to like motivate yourself, but don't let that be your deciding factor. Yes. Like, don't let
it be discouraging.
Like Isaiah won Pog, so I have to start doing better. No, that's not like the correct mindset. It's like, Isaiah won Pog, that's cool, I would like to do better at Pokemon.
Yeah, I think it's okay to do that. I think it's when you take it negatively. When you go, oh, Isaiah worked so hard, like, I could never do that. Like, it's like, don't look at Isaiah and go, oh, he won Pog, and then listen to a podcast where he talks about how he played 20-something hours a day. If you want that, that's what you do. That's what you do.
Yep. And take an inspiration from people who you believe are better than you. Don't be like upset at them being better.
Yeah, never take anything discouragingly. I think you should always try to get positivity out of anything that you see on the internet. Like,
you don't have to like the person.
No,
you just have to respect them. You don't even, I mean, sorry, you don't have to respect them. You don't even have to like.
No, you don't
enjoy anything about them. You just have to know that they're, if they're doing well in life or something, there's something that they're doing that you might. And right. If you're always open to learning and letting in new ways to do things, then you'll always grow as a person.
Yeah.
I think the day you stop learning is the day you're dead.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think we're going to end it with that. We went on in like a life-changing rant at the end, which is, if you're still listening, you're welcome.
Yeah, we'll keep popping. That's free advice.
Free advice, dude. That's what we do on here. We'll turn next week. I don't know who I'm going to have on. I'll figure it out. That's what I do. We'll figure it out. But we'll be back Monday with one-on-one. We'll have another breakdown on Thursday. As long as my computer survives. At this point, who knows? Might have to invest in a new computer just to keep this running, guys. But for now, we're going to scoop it up.